The Outsiders. Chamonix Mont Blanc, from Outsiders on the Inside.
It's the Outsiders show on Globule Radio, 90.5 FM. I'm Kirstine McKenzie. Today I'm joined again back by Maya Tavener. Welcome back, Maya.
Thanks, Kirstine. It's nice to be back.
Also on the show today... Our kids. Also on the show today, babies. But don't worry, in fact, the topic is far from babies, although they kind of are implicated. It's mental health. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. So we're going to be talking about that, really, and your coronavirus update. We also have an extra co-host and guest on the show today, Mr. Richard Moss. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you, Kirsten. It's a pleasure to be here.
And before we catch up about why Richard's here, his background and all of that jazz, we'll get into some actual jazz. No, it's not jazz music. It's just music. And then when we come back, your coronavirus update in Chamonix Mont Blanc.
You're listening to Globia Radio 90.5. Stay tuned.
The Outsiders.
Your radio, The Outsiders Show. Kirstine here.
And Maya Taberner. I'm back.
Welcome back, Maya. And we also have Mr. Richard Moss.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Richard, tell us then, go on. Who are you? What are you doing here? What are you doing in Chamonix? You live in Saint-Gervais now, or at least you have a holiday home there. And I've invited you on the show to talk about mental health. But what is your bio? What's your background?
So I work in international developmental aid. And the reason I'm still here is because the country which I was working on, happens to be Iraq, kicked us all out. And I was stuck here in France during the whole lockdown period. And as such, one of the issues which we're raising today is mental health. And one of the challenges which I've been doing is 25 for 25. But we'll go on to that a little bit later.
Yes, we shall. And Maya, what have you been up to get us up to date on your maternity leave? How has the lockdown affected all of that?
I guess a lot of people say there's no difference between like having a newborn and being in confinement, because you're sort of in confinement anyway. So true. Yeah, I've just been doing the baby stuff, like not sleeping, trying to get baby to sleep in a pram, sleep in a sling, sleep here, sleep there, and yeah, chasing sleep.
Chasing sleep. Well, here's your update on the news, and you guys feel free to interject if you've got anything to say. Put your hands up or just interrupt me, because I'm sure you've got some interesting opinions on the news.
I disagree.
So,
message coronavirus.
The virus continues to circulate in the valley. That's according to Dr. Bruyne. He's the cardiologist at Sallanches Hospital, where 14 people are still hospitalized in the service dedicated to COVID-19. But he says the situation has stabilized. There's been no deaths in the past 15 days. Teams at the Hospital du Pays de Mont Blanc do insist on wearing masks all the time for the general public in the street, even outdoors, by the lakes, when there are even few people. You can be contaminated by crossing a sick person, so says Dr. Bruyne, especially since there are quite a few people who are sneezing at the moment due to allergies. Haute-Savoie is in the red, he says. There are a lot of grass pollens in the air to be aware of. So obviously anybody who happens to be carrying the COVID, who unfortunately is also affected by seasonal allergies, is a great risk to us all. Any comments?
I feel like I can't wear a mask because my baby doesn't wear a mask. I feel like really selfish for some reason. Like I walk around with a mask and he's like got no protection.
I went to the bakery the other day and I was wearing a mask just out of respect for them, and they wanted me to, even though I'm not super into it, because I'm not sick, and the WHO actually recommends only wearing a mask if you are sick or are with fragile people who happen to potentially be sick, which I'm not. And of course, my daughter was there, and she's like 10 months old, and she wasn't wearing a mask because they definitely say don't put masks on kids. And the lady like had a go at me for saying like, oh, your kid should be wearing a mask. I was like, no, she absolutely should not. Is that true? What age can we put masks on kids? You must know. You worked in pandemic zones before, Richard.
I've personally never seen masks on children. And just to bring back up on your observation point, I was in a bricolage in Sallanches, and a gentleman was in front of me asking a question, where he then removed his mask, licked his fingers, went for his paperwork, and then after engaging with the teller behind the counter, then put his mask back up again. It completely goes against the whole idea of wearing a mask altogether. Good personal hygiene and washing your hands and using sanitizer is the way forward. Masks, for me, are a no-go. If you're sick, and if you're dealing with somebody who's sick, then you should be wearing one.
Moving forward, the reopening of the Aiguille de Midi last week was controversial. Many photos on social networks showed long queues of people in front of the cash desk, lining up from up to 8 a.m. in the morning, without respecting the rules of distancing. However, the company de Mont Blanc has implemented some health measures, such as taking the temperature of each passenger. They've even labelled some zones in the teleferic bins where people are supposed to stand. Thursday was a public holiday in France. According to France Bleu Pays de Savoie, 1,000 people embarked on the Aiguille Thursday, compared to 2,300 people on the same day last year. Now, Richard, I know you went up the Aiguille de Midi just this morning. What was your observation on some of these health measures that the company have put in place?
I thought it was excellent, to be honest. Fortunately enough, there was no queue this morning. There were only three of us on the cabane to go up. Unfortunately, I forgot my mask and I was given one by the attendant behind the counter. They did a remote temperature check using a thermal imagery camera. And then we gelled our hands and then lined up. They've lined out where we meant to be standing, and inside the cabin itself, on both legs, there are designated standing areas. And I felt incredibly safe and was very impressed with what Company de Mont Blanc put in place.
If you do need some more intel, a great website to check out is the Chamin Yard website, and they've even published some infographics to help better using the mountains in these coronavirus times. Also, the Secretary of State for Ecological Transition has proposed to the Prime Minister the date of June 2nd for reopening of refuges. Obviously, there will be many restrictive conditions, and those will include the capacity of people in the refuges, rescheduling of meals, and the establishment of a charter for hikers and mountaineers. At the beginning of June, Wednesday the 3rd, it will also be the reopening of the Italian borders for everyone. And on the sports event side of the valley, as was expected, I think we were all expecting this, the Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc has been cancelled. It will be held, it was going to be held the last week of this August, and now it's going to be back the last week of next August 2021. However, the Tour de France is still going on in August. What do we think about the Tour de France and cycling postponing as opposed to cancelling? Anybody?
No, but I got opinions about how can the MIDI be open and our children are not allowed back in school. I find that a bit weird.
No comment. Last part of the news. Le Christ Roi, overlooking Les Ouches, that's the statue that looks like something out of the Lord of the Rings, will become an official historic monument for France, which greatly advantages the mairie there, because now care of the statue will be paid for up to 50% by the state. Christ Roi. Have you hiked up there, you guys?
No.
Not yet.
Yeah, it's on the list.
Oh, it's the one in Les Ouches, the one for Christ.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, apparently it's one of the one of the rare statues in France from the Art Deco period. If you go up closely to it, you'll see some of the features are really in that 1920s Art Deco style, which is quite rare for that, I guess, statues of that scale, really.
It's a very big statue, very, very big.
Very, very big indeed, and a very, very big topic for the show today, mental health. It's the Mental Health Awareness Month. And when we come back after these songs, we're going to talk to Richard Moss about the challenge he's taken up on Facebook, raising awareness for post-traumatic stress disorder. We'll be right back.
Ma chambre a la forme d'une cage. Le soleil passe son bras par la fenêtre. Les chasseurs à ma porte comme les petits soldats qui veulent me prendre. Je ne veux pas travailler, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier et puis je fume. Déjà j'ai connu parfum de l'amour, un million de roses n'embaumerait pas autant. Maintenant une seule fleur dans mes entourages me rend malade. Je ne veux pas travailler, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier et puis je fume. Je ne suis pas sympathique, mais je ne le connais jamais. Je ne veux pas travailler, non, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier, et puis je fume.
mais je ne le connais jamais. Je ne veux pas travailler, non, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier. Et puis je fus.
Chamonix Mont Blanc from Outsiders on the Inside.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her, she's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she had said, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. Well, no one told me about her, what could I do? Well, no one told me about, but it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her, she's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she acted, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there.
Globule Radio, The Outsiders. I'm Kirstine.
I'm Maya.
It's time now to talk a little bit more about why Richard Moss is joining us today, and that is Mental Health Awareness Month and his efforts on Facebook raising awareness for PTSD, and also now his efforts on Globule Radio raising awareness. Welcome back to the show, Richard. So your background is in risk management, and you were also in the military. That's where you've come from, and now you're living in the Haute-Savoie area, but moreover in Saint-Gervais. I suppose it's Eid right now, so you've got not much on, except for you're doing 25 push-ups a day for 25 days.
Yeah, so there's a F on Facebook, on social media, for mental health awareness, covering post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety and depression. And one of the ways of doing this is doing 25 press-ups per day for 25 days. And part of this is then to nominate somebody else to carry on the mantle and to make sure that it gets out there.
What do you think about doing the press-ups is good for mental health? Probably the fact that it's a routine. Your background in the military, you said that being or maintaining a routine is something that keeps you mentally healthy.
It's an exercise. It's extremely good for mental health, though, isn't it? There's loads of research constantly coming out about how good exercise is for the brain, right?
No, absolutely. Very good points being brought forward. Yes, many, many years ago I was in the military, but since leaving the military I've worked in the developmental and humanitarian sector. Quite stressful environments. And when you are working away from home, in locations where it is hostile, it's really positive to have a positive routine, such as good diet and daily exercise. And doing 25 press-ups isn't much, but any endorphin release is a positive one.
You want your dolphins.
Not dolphins.
Yeah, I know.
Endorphins.
I think it's just funny to talk about in my sort of circle, we call about the dolphins. Oh, near the dolphins.
Yeah.
But releasing dolphins are a good thing as well.
Yeah.
You know, don't captive dolphins.
That is another good topic. We actually have a cognitive behavioral hypnotherapist who's going to join us in a little bit to continue the discussion on mental health. But in terms of post-traumatic stress disorder, which is, I suppose, the CAD or the frame of this particular awareness campaign, what's your personal experience with post-traumatic stress, Richard?
I've personally suffered from anxiety and mild bouts of depression. I've certainly felt like I couldn't control the situation around me, which isn't a particularly nice feeling to have, as well as having close friends of mine take their own lives, which is the worst part of mental health issues, is that invariably those people who are really suffering aren't the ones coming forward and talking out. So it really is a silent killer.
Yeah, that's right. It's like you said before we spoke in the interview, we spoke on the phone and Richard was telling me in a crisis situation, say a bomb's gone off, something like that, it's not the people running around screaming who you need to be concerned about. It's the ones who've isolated themselves in the corner, covered in dust, totally silent.
Absolutely. It's a bit of an analogy in a sense, but you know, if you're talking about it, you're doing something about it. It's your friends who are away from the group, keeping themselves to themselves. On the outside, they could be really positive and fun-loving, but what's going to be underneath the surface and the facade is where the real problems are. And it's down to the individual to come forward and speak out, because there's plenty of really good resources out there, but until you step up and come forward, or you suspect one of your friends to be suffering and you encourage them, it's a really hard thing to identify.
That's right, with Mental Health Awareness Month coinciding with the deconfinement, at least here in France, it's a really good time to start this conversation and keep it going, which is why I applaud you, Richard, for doing your challenge online, 25 push-ups a day for 25 days, just raising awareness about mental health, and in this particular case, post-traumatic stress. Yeah.
Push-ups, can you do like 3 and then you have a little break and you do 3, or you have to do like 25 in a go?
No, you can do in any amount, with your knees on the floor, taking breaks in between. It's just a case of getting through and doing them, and you can take your time, and there's absolutely no pressure whatsoever. I'm choosing to do them in a different mountain location every day. Yesterday was up in the Saint-Gervais area, and today was at the top of the Aigle de Midi. And my hands did get cold.
Oh, you did them up there. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, not advisable.
Maybe, Maya, you can do them with Bob strapped on your chest like he is now.
Yeah.
Little baby Bob on the back, says Richard. Good form. When we come back next, our cognitive behavioural hypnotherapist, Kelly Griffiths-Taylor, is going to join the conversation. Continuing the conversation, it's important to talk about these issues, and because they're not taboo, it's part of life. And I think people who feel like they can't talk about it isolate themselves even more. And we're deconfined now, so let's all get out and about, get some of those dolphins going.
The dolphins! Do you think that it's harder for men to talk about this, I reckon. I reckon it's a lot harder.
I think women are more attuned to expressing emotion. And certainly, if you look at statistics, men are the biggest demographic to suffer from, to suffer the ultimate consequences of mental health problems, be it suicide. So statistically, men are suffering more than women, though both genders suffer equally.
And coronavirus as well, just going back to our present time, I've read some statistics recently that suicide is up, and that post-traumatic stress here in France for nurses and hospital workers is also up, on the rise. So it's a very important subject indeed. See you after this song, when we'll be joined over Zoom by our cognitive behavioral hypnotherapist again, Richard Moss, myself, and the lovely Maya Taverner and baby Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say, and Bob Taverner, 5 months old. 5 months, 5 weeks.
5 weeks old.
Dolphins.
Dolphins. You know what? You got spunk.
He's outside.
Well, yes.
I hate spunk.
Getting in my way. but you know it's a lie. You keep lying to my main girlfriend. I'm gonna take you out in the middle of the street and whoop your tail. All is worth $5.99 or something like that.
Chamonix Mont Blanc from Outsiders on the Inside.
You're listening to Globule Radio 90.5 FM. It's the Outsiders Show. I'm Kirstine, and we are also joined today by Maya Tappanet, back from maternity leave, baby Bob in tow, and Richard Moss, who is a bit of a risk assessment expert, humanitarian as well, former military man, a Kiwi like myself, although he does have an English accent, let him off. We've also got joining us over Zoom, jumping into a Zoom room, Kelly Griffiths Taylor. She set up her practice in 2016, a cognitive behavioral hypnotherapist here in Chamonix. Welcome to the show, Kelly, and we would love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and when you came to Chamonix.
Thank you. So once upon a time, I was actually a corporate lawyer. Living and working in London, and I actually had my own traumatic experience. So I was actually hit by a lorry whilst I was cycling to work one day.
Okay.
So I've dealt with PTSD firsthand from a personal point of view, but also obviously with clients now. So after a period of time, I just decided that actually I didn't want to be working as I was, and so I went back to university and retrained, and here I am as a cognitive behavioral hypnotherapist. So I've been living in the Valley for nearly 7 years now.
Okay.
So mainly working with the English speakers in the Valley, because it's true that, you know, whilst there are sort of psychology services for French speakers, if you don't speak French fluently, or perhaps even you don't feel comfortable expressing yourself properly in a second language, there isn't really any psychological support for people here, apart from if you're going online.
Yes, one of the subjects I wanted to talk all together as a group or in general, and it's quite relevant now in this big change time, like in this pandemic, go on, let's call it what it is, during this pandemic. Mental health issues seem to be on the rise. Nurses, statistically in France, this is a fact, have higher post-traumatic stress related symptoms, yeah, issues, and mental health issues are a big subject that need to be talked about. So it's convenient that it's Mental Health Awareness Month. What do you think the responsibility of government is in mental health? Should there be some kind of campaign on French telly at the moment? And what?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Are available?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a pertinent issue at the best of times, but given what we've just been through, you know, statistically as human beings, we fare fairly well in the face of kind of illnesses. But unfortunately, when you add into the mix the sort of uncertainty that we've been under in terms of the sort of kind of not knowing when lockdown was going to end, or not knowing kind of to what extent, even the rules and regulations were quite difficult to sort of navigate at times. So when we're dealing with that, plus kind of social isolation, as human beings, we tend to start to not cope so well. Mm. So there's been a few studies done recently. I mean, I know there was one done in the UK at the end of April, which interviewed, I think, over 2,000 young people under 25, and they all had pre-existing mental health issues. And they all, well, not that they all, but 83%, I think, of the people interviewed said that they felt that the COVID epidemic had made their mental health worse. So it's clear that, you know, you've got not just kind of people on the front line, but you've got people, general public, with existing mental health issues who perhaps can't go out and see their therapist. So they're not having the support that they would normally have. And it's a real issue. You know, the frontline workers, the nurses and the doctors, the trauma that they must be seeing on a daily basis, I mean, is huge. So I think it's right that, you know, the government were kind of focusing to an extent on them in terms of making sure that they had the support or easier access to support. but it's definitely something that we need to be rolling out for the wider population.
Yeah, Richard, who I invited on the show, has worked in crisis zones as part of his some of his humanitarian work that he's been doing. So, Richard, I suppose you've probably got a bit of experience in how to manage post-traumatic stress in those crisis zones, nurses and doctors and some of the pandemic areas you've worked in. You were in the Ebola management in Sierra Leone. What kind of things do you think the government should be putting into place from your personal experience?
It's a really good question, and it's really in depth. First of all, we don't want to get people to the stage where they've got post-traumatic stress disorder per se. As mentioned before, having these pre-existing coping mechanisms and support functions, i.e. family and friends, is super important. And to have them there first before the state stepping in and providing such services. But it's important the state does recognise the need for this and to have a diverse approach to mental health.
And part of that, do you think, is the availability of multi-language services? I mean, in Chamonix, it's a great example of an area where English population is almost equal to French population. And you're saying, Kelly, that it's only available in French. That doesn't seem correct.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously there are services that are accessible, but you're generally speaking looking at kind of online services. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think it's hugely important. You know, equally, there's, you know, a considerable number of foreigners living in the UK, and I don't know what the situation is there in terms of access to sort of their own kind of native languages in terms of support, but my feeling is that it's probably quite lacking. I think also, certainly from what I understand of the situation in the UK at the moment, therapists aren't being considered as frontline workers. But in actual fact, the service that they are providing for other perhaps key workers or the population at large is incredibly important.
But it doesn't have to be done in person, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It can. It does work online, and I certainly ended up taking quite a few of my clients online. But there's definitely something to actually seeing someone in person that has a more healing quality about it. And I know towards the end of lockdown, I was starting to be contacted by a number of different people who were trying to wait until we came out of lockdown so they could actually come in and see me in person.
Yeah, because you're right, screen time's gone up. It's another element of the confinement was that screen time just shot up. You know, I think it was something like two hours average on extra per day, the French were on screens. And yeah, in terms of mental health in general, is that having a negative effect or an effect?
Yeah, I think it's clear that it's having a negative effect. I think, you know, the sort of whole notion of compare and despair, you know, you're constantly looking at other people's lives, constantly comparing what we've got. And of course, you know, everything that's online is filtered through, you know, rose-tinted glasses. And there is that notion of kind of feeling that, you know, everybody else has got something wonderful going on and perhaps we haven't. But not just that, I noticed it in myself actually at the beginning of lockdown, that because my work had fallen off initially and I didn't really know what was going on, the desire to just kind of like stay in bed and not really kind of be motivated to kind of put in place a routine, I could spend much more longer than average on my phone. And I'd end up with the feeling that, you know, I'm kind of not being productive. So then I start to be a bit self-critical. And so it has a lot of different knock-on effects, I think, in terms of a negative impact.
Yeah, and Richard had a great example of the filter thing from his personal experience. I mean, in a way, that's how I discovered his efforts towards post-traumatic stress disorder. He was doing a Facebook challenge, 25 press-ups a day for 25 days. And you look at his videos and you think, God, he's fit. God, he's out in the mountains enjoying himself, doing press-ups and things. But in reality, there is loneliness to consider. I mean, I'll let you speak for yourself, Richard.
Yeah, thanks, Kirsten. Yeah, absolutely. I know I want to promote how I look online as my reality. It's a facade, and it's what I want to put out to the rest of the world. Of course, being in self-isolation in the mountains is lonely, and you are apprehensive, and you don't know what your family are doing. If you've got loved ones or partner you can't be with, that separation is a negative. How I've worked around this is, and I've been doing this for a long, long time, is creating positive routines rather than the negative routine as described. So I make sure that I get up at a particular time in the morning, I will check my emails and then have breakfast, be in a particular kind of format. And then at 10 o'clock every day, I will leave the house and then come back in again. And it's these positive routines and writing things down, what you should be doing, really helps me get through even the most stressful times. Though it isn't going to fix all the problems you've got, it certainly does help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would 100% agree with what Richard said there. I think having that sort of sense of routine is key, not just in lockdown, but at any time, really. So if we're kind of suddenly in a situation and we're not eating our meals at regular times, and we're not going to bed at regular times, and we're not getting up at regular times, we can start to feel a little bit kind of discombobulated, a little bit stressed out. So keeping those basic routine elements is absolutely fundamental. Mm. And, you know, I think screen time can definitely get in the way of all of that.
Thanks, Kelly. If anybody's listening to this in Chamonix and they want to get a little bit of help, how can they even contact you? Or do you have some other resources that you'd like to promote?
So they can contact me. I've got a Facebook page, Mont Blanc Counselling and Therapy. I have a website. It's www.montblancsalus, so MontBlancSalus.com. Or they can call me on 06 51 56 2285, and I'm able to work in English and French, so I'm not just limited to English speakers. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So check out the website, and if anyone's got any questions and wants to contact me, then I'd be more than happy to hear from them.
You're listening to Globia Radio 90.5. Stay tuned.
You caught me guilty, taking the pieces of you. That night you took flight, I couldn't decide what to do. Won't let a safe bet continue to make me go blue. Could go solo, would that be the right thing to do? We all make mistakes, we do. I learned from you. We all make mistakes, we do. I learned from you. Too slow out of the door to your house. I know that this way leads me out. Outside too bright, you're within, I'm without. You're within, I'm without.
We all make mistakes,
we do. I learn from you. We all make mistakes, we do. I learn from you.
Please sleep softly, leave me alone.
Leave me no room for doubt.
We all make mistakes. We do. I learn from you. We all make mistakes. Oh, we do. I learn from you. We all make mistakes. Oh, we do. I learn from you. We all make mistakes. Oh, we do. I learn from you.
The Outsiders.
Globule Radio, 90.5 FM. It's the Outsiders Show Mental Health Month special. And we're joined over Zoom by Kelly Griffiths-Taylor, a cognitive behavioural hypnotherapist in Chamonix-Mont-Blanc, practicing here since she set up her practice here in 2016. Richard Moss, also our guest on the show today, discussing mental health awareness. Maya Tavner too has baby Bob on board in his little scarf. Sorry for any sound quality issues because of Zoom and of course that. But Richard really is a great guest to have on the show to give a bit of a male perspective on things, because when it comes to mental health and I suppose mental illness, the very extreme end of mental illness is that really literally the end is suicide. It's not a great topic to talk about. It makes everyone feel uncomfortable, and there are some radio stations in the world which say it's a totally taboo subject and they don't want to talk about it at all. It's important to talk about, I believe. And so I've got Richard on the show. He's doing 25 for 25, which is 25 press-ups for 25 days on social media, on Facebook he's doing it. And this is a way where you can just open the conversation about suicide, about post-traumatic stress disorder. Richard, tell us a little bit more about how you got nominated.
Yeah, I mean, I was nominated by a friend of mine who's living in the Marne at the moment, and I've nominated a few people who I think should be stepping up to the mark. And hopefully, if anything, it just raises the awareness and to allow men to speak up and speak out about mental health, their emotions, and the fact it's okay to be down. And
yeah,
just reaching out is what you need to do.
Thanks for joining me on the show today, both of you guys, Kelly and Richard.
Thank you.
And of course, Maya and little baby Bob, who's now fallen asleep.
And of course, once you've accepted the scenario, we're in lockdown or post-lockdown, then you can start building your routines around your new reality. So when you don't accept the reality at hand, your expectations aren't then therefore managed, which then creates more anxiety, which could possibly lead to depression and further exacerbate the likes of PTSD, if you're not in the correct frame of mind. And a more kind of proactive approach to diet improves your mood, your general outlook. So for working in kind of closed environments, as I do, I wrote an advisory for colleagues about, you know, picking the right type of diet, which can improve your overall feeling of well-being. And I think it's really quite important to ensure that's part of your healthy lifestyle and routine.
Yes, 100%. You know, like you were saying, exercise is so important. You know, what we find with like depressed clients is that the first things that they start to do is to withdraw from society. They stop exercising, they stop having a routine, they find it either incredibly difficult to get to sleep or they want to sleep all the time. So if you think about it, when we're in lockdown, all of those things are actually present and enforced to a certain degree. You know, we can't exercise as much as we were. We don't have the routine of kind of getting up and going to work. We're not able to see sort of family and friends. So if we're struggling already it's going to be very difficult to kind of actually make those improvements during those sort of times.
Yeah.
One of the points which I raised with Kirsten is that one of my friends, he actually committed suicide 2 years ago yesterday, but he would be the life of the party.
Yeah. But
hidden demons behind it. And invariably, it's using the analogy from before about, you know, if something goes bang, people running around screaming, don't worry about those people. It's those who are not saying much. Unfortunately, it's these hidden demons. And these people can be the life of the party.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they just need to be watched and monitored and helped. But you just wouldn't know that case. In some of my friends who have taken their lives, they were just top of their game, and the next day they've committed suicide.
Yeah,
it's
100%.
Incredibly sad.
Yeah. No, it is. You're right. It is. It's the sort of silent ones, really, who just slowly kind of withdraw from friends, family, who aren't saying anything, who aren't voicing that they need the help. They're definitely the ones that need it the most.
But then they mask it with alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So where they would naturally come forward and be open, sober, it's then superseded with this kind of alcoholic facade, which makes them the life of the party. And it's this which it seems to be the true mask of the problem at hand.
Yeah, now that partying is really, there is no partying, no more bars, no more clubs, those alcoholics who are the life of the party and really rely on that social element of the alcoholism are now finding themselves just alone with that bottle, and that's tough.
And themselves, most importantly.
Yeah.
You have to deal with your own reality, and sometimes your reality isn't particularly nice, and there's hypnotherapy, psychotherapy, 101 things which these people can be doing, but
there's babies to feed, there's jobs lost, there's incomes shattered, there's mortgages,
overwhelming for most people.
That's right. But if that's the case, obviously the first thing to do is reaching out, of course, reaching out to your friends, or if you're listening and you're feeling those way, you reaching out is also to your friends. It's talking about it. It's opening the way, like the new phrase for Chamonix is ouvre la voie, open the way also for talking about mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. I say very regularly to my clients, you know, who they take a very brave step when they sort of make contact with me and they come in, they recognize that they've got an issue and they want some help with it. And I think it takes absolutely so much courage to allow yourself to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, well done, everyone. And well done, Richard, for joining us and talking about these issues, which most men would go, oh, nah, rather just have a nap or rather do some sit-ups. Don't want to come on a radio show full of women and a baby. Good man, Richard.
Well done, Richard.
All a facade.
The Outsiders. Chamonix Mont Blanc, from Outsiders on the Inside.
Outsiders.
The English are gone, Bull.
Gone! Because I drove them out.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show, the Mental Health Special on Globule Radio 90.5 FM. Always we ask on Globule Radio if you've got something to say, questions, comments or concerns, to send us a message on our Facebook page, Globule Chamonix Radio on Facebook. And we also have a website, it's globule.chamonix.radio. And this is a place where you can feel safe to contact us about anything, including the subjects on today's show. Reaching out is very important, as we've discussed, and we wish you, our listeners, all the best in yet another week of deconfinement ahead in beautiful Chamonix Mont Blanc. Stay safe, stay healthy, and respect those barrier measures.